Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as many of you know, all summer long, we've been taking Slate's Dear Prudence advice column to the airwaves. After the revelations earlier this week that mayoral candidate Anthony Weiner was sexting, or just flirting, as one of our listeners called it yesterday, as late as last summer, today we're going to tackle issues relating to the work-life-private life divide. Emily Yaffe, a.k.a. Dear Prudence, is Slate's advice columnist, and she's back again today for the last of our summer series to offer more advice to you. Emily, thanks for your advice series all this summer on the show. This has been so much fun, and I think people have learned a lot from it, too.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been great fun for me, too. I appreciate it.
So, listeners, want to make sure you know what kinds of questions we're looking for today, and you can call in and ask any that may be relevant to you. Emily is standing by to give you her best advice on tricky situations that come up between your personal life and your professional life. So give us a call, 212-433-9692. It could be something dramatic like the Weiner situation. Get some advice from Emily if you're in anything remotely similar. I don't know what that would be. Or it could be that your spouse has work events several nights a week and you never see each other, or the eternal issue of whether it's okay to date a coworker. Anything in that personal life, professional life intersection, sometimes uncomfortable intersection, give us a call if you have a question and need some advice. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And so, Emily, while we're waiting for the calls to come in, I'll start with a question, and we can call this a hypothetical if you like. My spouse has been sexting with strangers on his phone and didn't stop even after he first got caught and admitted it to me. What should I do? Should I leave him?
Well, Huma, you know, you're obviously talking about the Anthony Weiner situation. His wife said, this is our private business. So, you know, what she does is up to her. But I think the distinction is, you know, I've gotten, interestingly, in the past couple of weeks, a couple of letters from people who wanted to tell nasty stories about those running for public office. And I think that is a clear divide. If you are running for public office, your life becomes public, and things are generally fair game, and it's the public's decision to decide. You know, what the spouse does or doesn't do is in the personal realm, but then you are asking voters to say, I trust or don't trust someone who engages in inappropriate behavior and lies about it.
So, for example, you recently published a question from a person who was bullied, sometimes violently, they say, when he or she was in high school, and now the bully is running for public office, and the bullied person wants to go public with old stories by writing a letter to the local newspaper. What did you advise this person to do?
Well, here's the problem with something like that. I think a lot of voters give a pass to teenage behavior. This actually came up in the last presidential campaign when there was a big profile of Mitt Romney citing a hazing incident was involved in with a high school classmate of his who later came out as gay, but a bunch of boys tackled this somewhat effeminate classmate to the ground and cut his hair. It's a very ugly thing. But there was a lot of debate. Is this fair game to judge the character of a 60-something-year-old man? The letter writer, I said to the letter writer, it's very likely you will not get the result you want. You know, the bully, you know, write the letter. Who knows if it'd be published? If it was published, it gives the bully the opportunity to say, I'm so sorry, I don't remember this incident. If I ever did anything to hurt anyone all those years ago, I sincerely apologize. Then the bullied person looks like someone who's never gotten over high school.
Mm. Yeah, and another letter writer asked what to do about her ex-husband who had been fired from several high schools and universities for inappropriate relationships with young female students. And after some recent Googling, the writer found out he'd been hired at a fancy boarding school where he lives on campus among the students. So this person is not running for public office, not public in that sense of a political candidate, but your correspondent was wondering whether she should alert the school to this individual's sketchy past in, you know, a kind of private sector job that he has. What did you think about that?
I thought yes, because teacher is a different kind of job. If she'd said, you know, my husband who had been a teacher is now an insurance adjuster, should I tell that company? No. I mean, the guy, you know, as long as his job is not putting him in a position of trust with minors, who cares? Good. He changed careers. He didn't change careers. He just goes, bounces from place to place. From the history she gave, obviously these schools are very happy to get rid of him, and they don't take any action. This guy tended to stay just within the side of the law. He has emotionally inappropriate relationships with minors. Then he did have an affair with a student who was older than 18. But he's a real creep. And I thought she should alert the school. I sure as hell would want to know if my daughter was at boarding school and there was a male teacher, you know, there 24 hours a day who had this history. I was very surprised. A lot of readers commented and said, you know, hey, he hasn't been arrested for anything, and this wife just sounds bitter and vindictive.
Yeah, I'm surprised, too, because it sounds like that guy is Carlos Danger. You know, Anthony Weiner is Carlos Excitable. That guy, if she's accurate about his past, is Carlos Danger. And it's amazing. There, you know, there have been stories like this in the news. It's amazing how many schools don't actually really vet their applicants along those lines.
Very hard to do the due diligence, because if these predators are canny, they manage not to get arrested. If you don't have a record, what is the school going to find? Lots of places, because they don't want to get sued for defamation. If you call them to find out what this teacher was like, they'll say yes. He taught here from 2008 to 2011, and that's all you're going to get.
Listeners, it's Emily Yaffe, Dear Prudence from Slate, ready to take your advice questions on anything in this sometimes uncomfortable meeting point between the personal and the professional. 212-433-WNYC. 212. You know what's amazing, Emily? Every other week that you've been here, the phone lines have been absolutely packed. As soon as we put the number out, boom, all 10 lines lit up. People had questions.
Yeah.
Today, nobody. I think they all just want to sit back and hear you talk about Huma.
Oh, okay. So, Brian, what is everyone thinking on your show?
So listeners, often, you know, now I see some lines ringing. So people who have advice questions, yes, we do have available lines, and call right up and you will get right on as soon as our screener can take down your question. Now all the lines are ringing. So let me go back to the situation du jour and ask you another advice question about the complicating factor that this hypothetical spouse I raised before is a public figure running for office who is sexting with strangers. It could destroy his career if I don't stand by him, at least for now. Do I have any obligation more than any other spouse?
Absolutely not. Look, we've seen this over and over and over, and the spouse, always so far female, is in a terrible situation. We have a bunch of different models. They used to just stand there looking in agony. We saw this with Silda Spitzer. Then some of them said, you go out there yourself. Mark Sanford at that amazing Hiking the Appalachian Trail soulmate press conference. There was no wife there. Huma did something very unusual. Usually they don't step up to the mic and speak and say, I support my husband. I don't think a wife has any obligation to do any of those.
Do you judge her for it, though? The post is all over her today.
Everyone has a human reaction to it. I was so uncomfortable watching her, and it becomes a psychological thing. You understand she has a child with this man. She supports him. He's told her one set of facts. Now, do we know if she knew about this latest incident, or she was just finding out as the news was breaking?
I don't think we know.
Okay. So either way, if she knew beforehand, she's actually abetting him and is involved in trying to deceive the public. If she's just finding out, her saying this is our private business, it doesn't fly because he's made his private business the public business. If he hadn't gone back to run for mayor, no matter what he was doing, it's very unlikely. If he was just a private citizen continuing to engage in this behavior, we'd all know about it.
Right. I think the answer to your question, by the way, is that she did know about this before the news broke the other day. So you say that makes it a cover-up on her part.
I think that's very problematic, and it brings up the old Elizabeth Edwards, John Edwards situation, where it did come out she was his great defender, and it did come out later that she knew more than she was saying. So then the sympathetic wife who has been deceived then becomes part of the deception.
Why is she obligated to do that, though? I mean, he said he had this bad behavior, and now it's behind him. That doesn't imply that he necessarily is obligated to tell us that it went on after he resigned from Congress, or that she's obligated to tell us, does it?
Well, at Slate, a couple of people, Will Salatin and Dave Weigel, have done interesting timelines of the story they've put out as relates to this latest sexting. They had a People magazine story saying this is behind us. We've worked really hard.
Latest incident. All right. I'm going to jump to one or two advice questions that we can sneak in our remaining time. Sarah in Manhattan. Hi, real quick, right to the point. What's your advice? What's your advice question?
So I'm getting married in a couple months, and I don't socialize with my coworkers, but one person with kind of a strong personality indicated she would be upset if I didn't invite her to the wedding. And so
is Sarah obligated to invite coworkers to her wedding?
Absolutely not. Your wedding is for your friends, your family, the people you want there. It's not the office summer picnic. Too bad.
Ted in New Jersey, you're on WNYC with Dear Prudence. Hi, Ted.
Hi, good morning.
What's your question?
So I wanted to talk about social situations where I've been invited to holiday parties, work, or to my boss's house, and my wife has zero tolerance for that stuff. We're always late, and if we're not late, she finds a reason to make me cancel at the last minute. And even when she goes, she tends to be sometimes rude and confrontational, to the point where I no longer invite her to go along with me.
And your question is, are you obligated to invite her? Is that your question?
I think, Ted, you should invite her to go to counseling with you and not invite her to any more social events.
We'll get one more in here. Bernadette in Little Neck. Hi, Bernadette.
Hi, how you doing? I was just wondering. I had met a couple in Manhattan as a, just as a coincidence. And then I wound up meeting the same man and his wife in the Hamptons. And I figured out and know for a fact now that he's been having an affair with this other woman in the city. And now I know them both and they're socially together, and I was wondering, should I mention anything to his wife?
This is one of the most frequent questions you get, right? I think, Emily, and we have 10 seconds for your stock answer.
If you are just a very mild acquaintance, no. This is a difficult question. If you know someone really well and you have a relationship where you'd want her to tell you in a similar circumstance, okay, but not to people you barely know.
And there we leave it for this summer with Emily Yaffe, a.k.a. Dear Prudence, on Slate with our summer advice series on The Brian Lehrer Show. This has been really fun. And as I said at the beginning of today's segment, I think people really, really learned a lot, too. So thank you so much for giving us so much time. Good luck.
Brian, I've really enjoyed it. Have a great rest of your summer.